This morning's reading is select verses from the 16th chapter of the book of Moses, known as the Exodus. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And when the layer of the dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance, as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, What is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need, one omer for each person, according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. What is it? What is it, and what was it like? Probably every Christian that's heard this story has tried to imagine in their minds exactly what it was like to go out and gather this manna. What is it? That's exactly what the word manna means in Hebrew. What is it? How many scientists who are Christians would love a chance to take and analyze this in a laboratory and find out what kind of nutrients were in this amazing substance that were able to take care of these people and their bodily needs? When I was a little boy, I used to try to imagine what it looked like, and the best that I came up with was the communion wafers that we would have at church. I often thought that was maybe kind of what manna would look like in my childhood imagination. It's a wonderful picture for us, isn't it, of how God takes care of his people and how the Lord provides for all of our needs, in particular here, the earthly needs, as the children of Israel are on this great exodus out of the land of Egypt. And how much more direct can you get in seeing God's providence and care for us than imagining this event, how God so clearly, directly provided this food on the ground for them every morning. Food that would breed worms and rot if they didn't gather it by a certain time in the day, and the sun would finally melt it away. And so that each day as they went out, this food would be waiting for them, a new batch from heaven. When I was in seminary, one of the many lessons that I learned and appreciated to a greater degree, I guess I would say, was how the entire story, the true historical account of the children of Israel, their bondage in Egypt, and then the great exodus of them out of that through the wilderness, and finally their deliverance to the promised land, how many spiritual lessons there are in that for us today in our modern day and age. Not only regarding just this life, but also in terms of our spiritual lives. We see here that the children of Israel are inclined to grumble against God and complain about their situation in life. And we think how quickly they've forgotten the things that just precede in the previous four chapters. The great Passover account of how God had delivered them from slavery, all the complaining they had done in Egypt because of the hard labor they had to do, and that God had now miraculously, in this amazing way, delivered them with the blood of the Lamb on the door and brought them out now on this great journey. And how even when the Pharaoh's army traveled after them, that God had them go through the Red Sea with the walls of water on each side of them, their feet going right on dry ground up to the other side, and then to watch the waters crush the chariots. You think of how that might have impressed them, and to see God's great hand delivering them, and so on. All of the different events that had taken part along the way, and yet now they so easily begin to grumble against God. How quickly people forget what God does for us and how he takes care of us in this life. And that's a tendency that I have as well, to focus on the things that aren't right and forget about the things that are so good. The responses of the children of Israel, for me, reflect three basic things that I see in my heart toward God. Number one, when things are not going the way we want, we have a tendency to gripe and complain. And beneath all of that, griping and complaining is often a challenging of God's wisdom. It's often a lack of faith and trust in what he has promised us. And it's kind of also a way that we can arrogantly rise up in our hearts and expect God to owe me something. Expect that I should have a certain thing in my life, or I should have things go a certain way because I deserve it, God. You should be giving this to me. And why do you give me something else? Just think how deserving I really am. And there's a sense or a feeling of entitlement to the earthly blessings that we could have here in this world. I remember years ago, there was a young lady from college that I knew had gone here to Bethany. She had been blessed with a very wealthy family that she had grown up in, pretty wealthy, and had gotten used to and comfortable with a certain standard of living. When she suddenly got married and was starting out new in life with her new family and so on, she didn't have that same kind of wealth. And she said, it's pretty tough to adjust down. It's a tough adjustment. And she said, I found myself expecting that I should just have more, because I always had, to just expect that I'm entitled to these things. And we can so easily find ourselves, I know I can, forgetting all the good that God gives us and rather focusing on the few things that we may be lacking. Now, on the other hand, we can also see this in ourselves. When things are going well, when everything is fine and good, we can sometimes just expect they should continue that way. And we can also forget that they're truly coming from the hand of God. We can go through life falsely assuming that my status and my wealth and the things that I'm able to do and enjoy, the blessings I have in this life, I'm responsible for those in some way, shape, or form. And finally, we can easily become so focused on the things of this life that we forget about the true promised land that we are heading to. And we see that likewise in the children of Israel in the desert. And along with that comes a lack of thanksgiving to God for the blessings that he continues to give us here, even though at times they may not be enormous, and yet they still are very good, but the greater promise that he has for us in the home above. Now, the manna that we see in our text today for us as Christians gives us a double meaning. Has a wonderful double meaning. First of all, and we hear, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. How God provided for their physical needs, and he still does that for us today. Maybe not in this miraculous way. Maybe it's through our labors and through a paycheck and maybe through help from our parents and so on. But God is still taking care of our earthly physical needs in amazing ways, and pretty abundantly when you think about it, that we can complain even about the kind of food we get in the cafeteria. Think how many people in the world would love to be eating in our cafeteria. But boy, we can grumble about that, can't we? James says, do not be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. But the greater lesson for us to see and recognize in the great account of manna is in Christ we have the true bread of life from heaven, the greater manna. And this one who has come down from heaven has done so with the express purpose from the Father's hand, the express purpose of sustaining us in this life spiritually, feeding us in our spiritual hunger, knowing that we need his mercy and forgiveness in order to be right with God, which we have in him. So feeding us in that spiritual hunger and nourishing us in our souls, granting us forgiveness of all of our sins, even the sins of ingratitude, and continuing to sustain us in this world and in this life with his marvelous grace on our way to the greater promised land of heaven that he has waiting for us. And so this greater manna is what God would have us be focused on in this life, the true bread of life from heaven. You know, maybe my childhood imagination of what manna looked like really wasn't so far off. Let us consume this greater manna with our mouths, with our eyes, and with our ears. And let us come out of the desert of our lives into this sanctuary every morning where we may find that bread of life, where his mercies are new to us every day as we wander to our promised land. Amen.